Mark Redman likes to tell stories, whether it's on stage or on the page. He's not shy about sharing his experiences as a way to connect with other people. It's also a helpful trait in his day job as executive director of Spectrum Youth and Family Services in Burlington, where he has spent nearly 20 years in a four-decades-long career working with homeless and at-risk youth. Now Redman is putting his storytelling abilities to work in a new memoir adapted from his one-man show performed on Broadway and in Burlington. The memoir is called Called, and Mark Redman joins me now to discuss it. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Mitch, thanks for having me on.
Your book is called Called. This title seems quite intentional to me in the sense that you had a calling to do this kind of work, but you took a really kind of circuitous path to get there, working with at-risk and homeless kids. Out of college, you were on a very different path. What can you tell us about what you did before you found your actual calling with this job at Spectrum Youth Services?
So I majored in finance at Villanova University. I was president of the Finance Society. I finished near the top of my class, and I got this great job in a management training program for a multi-billion dollar insurance company on Madison Avenue. So that's what I was doing. That was the path I was on. And I heard about Covenant House in Times Square, which worked with teenage, homeless, and runaway youth. And a friend was there and said, we could use some volunteer help. So I would go there one night per week after work. Times Square then was a very dangerous place. Now it's quite Disney-fied. I would work with the kids there, hand out snacks, play basketball with them, those kinds of things. And I began to realize that's what I really enjoyed doing. And I remember going back to a meeting with my corporation, and there was a senior vice president, and he had the 10 of us in the room, and he said, we're now at, I forget what the numbers are, $300 billion in assets, and we need to get to $500 billion in assets by the end of the decade, and that's what you all need to dedicate yourself to. And I just remember sitting there thinking, that's not what I want to dedicate myself to. So shortly after that, I quit my job, and I moved into not even an apartment. It was a room across from a crack house and a strip club and started working with homeless youth. Some people thought I was crazy. It felt like the sanest thing I had ever done in my life. So I had not even a little bit of a doubt when I actually made the decision.
You know, a memoir like the one you've written is not going to work unless you're very honest with your readers. And you talk about, you are honest with your readers in this. You talk about struggling with mental health challenges, things like depression. How have your own experiences in life contributed to the work that you're doing now?
So I did go through a serious depression in 1994 after I got divorced. And that's funny. That's just one chapter in the book. And people have really focused on that because I talk about how I needed to go for professional help. I needed to see a therapist and a psychiatrist. And I went on medication and I worked through it and I became better. And that, I think there is such a stigma in our country about mental health, and especially for men, and especially for men from my like Irish Catholic cultural background, where you're just supposed to tough things out. And that chapter has affected a lot of people, and it made me a more compassionate person, because the young people that we work with, they have very traumatic backgrounds and deep suffering. And I now know what it is like to suffer like that. And it really helped me in my work with young people just to be more compassionate and more understanding.
Working with at-risk youth at Covenant House in New York, then working with Spectrum Youth and Family Services in Burlington for nearly 20 years, I do have to ask, because I am sure that these are difficult jobs to do and you must see a lot of difficult things. How do you avoid burnout in a field like that?
First of all, and even I tell our staff, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You need to take care of yourself. And while we do help many, many young people, you're not going to be successful with all of them. I take time off. I start every day with meditation and with prayer and with yoga. And I have a wonderful wife who's supportive of me. I exercise. So it's all of those things, I think. I go to the Green Mountain Monastery in the Northeast Kingdom once a year to spend a weekend at a retreat. And I think all of those things are what has really sustained me for really decades.
It sounds like you were somebody very well prepared to take on this kind of work. And yet, the forward to your book is dated April of 2020. Then the pandemic hits. We all know what happened there. If you added a new chapter to this book now, what would it cover? What happened over this pandemic year that perhaps you were not quite prepared for, and how did it affect the people you work with?
You know, the pandemic just hit so hard and so fast, you know, and we went to our state. First of all, we were able to do telehealth for all of our counselors and mentoring. But we had 16 formerly homeless youth living with us, 10 more in a warming shelter around the corner, and our drop-in center. We just couldn't say to them, oh, you have to go. So I said to our staff, if you are too afraid to come into work because you might get sick, don't come in. We'll still pay you. We won't even ask you to take a health day. And not one person, Mitch, took me up on that. Everybody still continued to come into work. But our staff were just so wonderful, and they hung in there when the pandemic first started. Nobody had masks or PPE. We didn't know how it was transmitted. And I went in that first night to our shelter, and I saw a worker, and two kids had symptoms. And I kept saying to her, how are you? Are you okay? To the worker. And all she was worried about was one young man who already had high anxiety disorder. And he had symptoms, and she was worried about him. And it's funny, she just left us after 4 years. And I said to her, that said so much to me that night. I kept asking you about you and how you're feeling, and all you were worried about is that young man. So that really speaks a lot about the people we have at Spectrum and the kind of care and compassion they have in the work that they do.
Mark, you've shared your stories on the Broadway stage. You've been telling stories. The Moth is a storytelling project in Burlington. People are really familiar with your work there. Now this memoir comes out. What is the big story that you're trying to tell with this memoir? And what do you hope people take away from the book?
You know, I ended my show on Broadway and the one I did in the Flynn, and I quoted in the end of the book, which is that I think the message I want people to get is that people can recover from their wounds. People can recover from their trauma. People can overcome their addictions. But it just doesn't happen by accident. It takes perseverance. It takes resilience. It takes grit. It takes courage. And you know what else it takes, Mitch? When other people are willing to step out of their comfort zone, to step out of their bubble in acts of compassion and care. And when you have those two elements coming together at once, that's really when some amazing, miraculous things happen. And I think that is the main message of the book.
Mark Rebman is the executive director of Spectrum Youth and Family Services in Burlington. His new memoir is called Called. It's out now and published by Onion River Press. Mark, thank you so much for the work you've been doing with at-risk and homeless youth in Vermont. And thank you very much for the new memoir and for speaking with us. Appreciate it.
Mitch, it was a pleasure to be on. Thank you so much.